You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I'm your host, Raymond Thomas Pronk. Today will be the final update on the IRS, at least for this week. I've been promising you for the last two shows that I would get to it. I'm definitely going to cover that, but I'm also going to cover what's happening on the U.S. borders. And remember, it's the responsibility of the United States government, namely the federal government, according to the U.S. Constitution, to protect the states against invasion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the Constitution. And where is the federal government on this? For the last 15 years, we've been invaded by illegal aliens. And the estimates are somewhere between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens. And the federal government has simply not, under both Republicans George W. Bush as well as Democrat President Barack Obama, defended the United States against the massive invasion coming across the Mexican border. And that is only half of the problem, because the other half is the illegal invasion of America by people who fly into the United States on valid visas and overstay it. So we have a massive problem. I'm going to be hitting that. And I think I've come up with a solution to the problem, what I call the Great Swap. And what the swap is, I'll give you some information, but I'll explore it after I cover the IRS. But the Great Swap is this. Both the Republicans and the Democratic Party have been trying for years, both under Bush and Obama, to pass so-called comprehensive immigration reform. What that ultimately means is citizenship for those who have entered the United States illegally. Now, we have a pathway to citizenship. It is called legal immigration. And most Americans are simply not aware. And I tested this in the newsroom. I was in the newsroom. I talked to someone who's a great Obama supporter. And I asked him, how many legal immigrants do you think the United States come to the United States every year? He says, well, I really don't have any idea. I said, well, take a guess. Well, a couple hundred thousand. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, it's over a million. You see, the United States, of all the nations in the world, are the most generous. We allow into the United States over a million people that have legal status to work here, that ultimately become legal citizens of the United States. We have a process in place, and it's been working. My only problem with it, it's not limited. Because if you ask most Americans, they will tell you several hundred thousand. Some will say 300, 400, 500,000. Very, very few people have the slightest clue as how many legal immigrants. I'm not talking illegal here. Legal immigrants are coming to the United States. And when I tell them a million, most of them say, that can't be true. I said, look it up. And there's a video online that I've had in past shows, and I'll add it to this show. I didn't put it in because I was rather rushed. It's Immigration by the Numbers by Roy Beck, and he's had a couple editions of this. I recommend anyone, before they have any opinion on immigration, to listen to Roy Beck's presentation. And most people, after they listen to it, are mad. They're not mad at the immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal. I'll tell you who they're mad at. They're mad at both Republicans and Democrats for what they've done to legal immigration. Legal immigration. Because the secret is this. For most of the history of the United States, on average, the number of legal immigrants was about 250,000 per year. Now, that gradually got increased upwards to 600,000. And over the last more than dozen years, it is now over 1 million. And most Americans will say that's just simply too many. The problem is most Americans are simply ignorant of that fact. That's why I urge you to, I will put it on the notes for my show. And for those that are new listeners, the way you listen to this show is go to the pronkpops.wordpress.com blog for the show. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, what you'll see is at the very top, links to the current shows. At the very bottom of that page, links to the all my shows, with the exception of the first seven that unfortunately no longer are on the server. But in between, you will have my notes for this show. And when I mean by notes, you'll have a lot of videos, you'll have charts, maps, cartoons, pictures, photos. It depends on what I'm covering or commenting on. So I'll add that video probably near the top, because I always say if people would only become informed on the issues rather than just spouting their opinion, they would be more involved and get really upset. Because invariably what happens after they listen to this video, they're not happy campers. And they're not happy campers at what? At their own representatives for allowing just the legal immigration to get out of control. You see, I've said in past shows, my recommendation is this in terms of legal immigration. You tie the maximum number of people that can come to the United States each year as legal immigrants. In other words, follow the rules, follow the, you know, submit the paperwork, whatever money or fees involve. And that means usually waiting many, many years. But these are people that are law-abiding, that want to follow the laws of the United States, want to come here legally, which is the right way to come. I have great respect and admiration for those people, because they're going to have to learn English and they're going to have to pass a test that many Americans simply could not pass. Many people that were born here that are citizens could not pass. These are people that are motivated and want to become American citizens and are proud to be American citizens. Those are the people that we want to come to this country. The problem is we can't allow millions or tens of millions to come here every year. No country can do that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the population of the United States today is approaching 319 million. 319 million. The population of the world is over 7 billion. There's no way we can solve the world's problems by allowing in millions of people into the United States. It's a sheer impossibility, because just every year there are tens of millions of additional people in terms of the world's population. In other words, people must bloom where they're planted. If you're born in a country, you have to live in that country. And if it's not a good place, you got to make it a good place. And that's just the way it is. It may not be fair. There's no way the United States can throw open its borders and allow anyone that wants to come in to come in. Now, legally, over 1 million have been coming into the United States, way over 1 million. It's not even a rounding error. I'm using that just to get your attention. But what I would do is link the maximum number to the level of unemployment as measured by the headline or so-called U3 unemployment rate that's published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics each month. And today we have an unemployment rate, or at least last month's unemployment rate was 6.3%. And next week we'll know the unemployment rate. Well, I think it's next week, but it's a holiday, so it might be the following. What the unemployment rate was in June. That was the May rate. My rule is rather simple. If the unemployment rate is above 6%, the maximum number of legal, I'm talking just legal here, new immigrants into the United States should be limited to 250,000. Now, there'd be a sliding scale. If the unemployment rate is approaching or near full employment levels, which most economists would say between 3 and 4%. I'll make it very simple. If the unemployment rate is below 3%, then the maximum number of people that can come here illegal is double the 250,000. In other words, 500,000 people, 500,000 people. And anything between that, it would be a sliding scale. So if we're at full employment, you know, business is booming, employers are having trouble finding workers. In other words, we have an unemployment rate of 3%, 2.9%, 2%. Then yes, we'll allow more workers, namely 500,000 people, to become or enter the United States as legal immigrants. However, if we're in a near recession and we're about to go into another recession where we have unemployment, persistently high unemployment, above 6%, which we've had for a long period of time for the entire Obama administration and for the last year of the Bush administration, unemployment rates have been high. They've been above 6%, 7, 8, 9, and in 1 month it hit 10. So where you have tens of millions of Americans unemployed, we have to look after our own people. The people that were born here, raised here, educated here, they should have the first priority of our leadership, our political leadership in Washington, not the illegal aliens. That seems to be the fascination of both parties. There seems to be very little action in getting results and getting the unemployment rate down. If anything, what they're doing in Washington is making the situation a lot worse because government is out of control in terms of its spending, and that creates uncertainty, and uncertainty is not the friend of people that are thinking about forming a new business. The way you get more jobs created is more business formation and more capital formation. And you're only going to get that where you have a climate or an environment that is friendly to business, because most of the jobs are created by small private businesses, new businesses, less than five people. They're responsible for most, not all, but most of the net employment gains. And you need to encourage that. You don't encourage that where you have great uncertainty as to what Washington is doing in terms of its spending being out of control, higher and higher tax rates, more and more regulations. That does not encourage people to take great risk and invest money in starting a new business, nor does it encourage people that have an ongoing business to expand their operations by investing in their business in terms of additional facilities, plant, equipment, stores, vehicles to transport their goods and services. All of that is capital expenditures, and the only way you encourage that is to encourage savings. And the savings rate of the American people is at historic lows. Why? Because the monetary policy of the United States is being manipulated by the Federal Reserve System, which is the central bank of the United States, and they have arbitrarily kept interest rates at very low rates. The federal funds rate, which is the rate that banks lend to each other overnight, has been pegged at 25 basis points since December of 2008. As a result, interest rates that savers can get on their money at their banks is at historic lows. So people haven't been in saving their money. Instead, they're risking it or speculating in commodities as well as stocks or real estate. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the verge of another bubble being popped. We've already had this week the news that the final numbers for the first quarter of 2014 was the U.S. economy did not grow. It shrank by 2.9%. And economists define a recession as two consecutive quarters of negative growth. I think we're going to be in a recession, if not this quarter, within the next year or two at the outside, because things are just simply piling up. We really have not learned our lesson that you can't have government spending being out of control. Now, let me back off that for a minute. We have a problem with both legal and illegal immigration. The problem with legal immigration, that can be dealt with, and we can have a national conversation as to what is the more appropriate number. I'm for limited, controlled legal immigration. That's my position on legal immigration. I've stated it. I think we have should have a sliding scale. That's not the current policy. It is not the current policy. We're letting in over a million people every year. And most Americans would be shocked to learn that. The only people that really know about this are people that are interested in politics, interested in policy questions, and care about the American people. There's a news story. I'm not going to cover it because I cover it in detail, but it is on the National Review's online site. They have a website, and I read it, but I really want to read the complete study. But they're making the point that I've been making for years, and this is what's happening with that most of the jobs since 2000, namely, I believe the number is 5.7 million jobs over the period, if you compare 2000 to 2014, have been taken by both legal immigrants but also illegal immigrants. And that's a study, again, based on Bureau of Labor Statistics that they put out. That is very, very clear. And legal immigrants have to find jobs. I don't begrudge in that. The problem is most of those jobs, not all of them, but most of them, have been taken by illegal immigrants. And I need to point one. Point two is the number of jobs taken by people, they call them native-born. We're not talking Indians here. We're talking American citizens that have been born, raised, and educated here, is only a couple of hundred thousand over that 14-year period. In other words, the number of unemployed Americans has gone up, up, and up. I'm going to pause because I'm looking at the time. I'll come back to this towards the end of the show. And I really didn't want to get started on it until I covered the IRS, but I need to cover that. So I'll get on illegal immigration and the problems at the border that we're having now towards the end of the show, because that is a driver why you have tens of millions of Americans unemployed. It's not hard to understand where you have a lot of illegals coming over, willing to work for practically nothing. Guess who gets the job? The illegal gets the job, even though it's illegal for them to work here. But let's step back and give you my update of what happened. I believe it was Tuesday evening. There was a special evening session of the House Oversight Committee headed by the chairman of the committee is Darrell Issa. He's a Republican from California. And I'm summarizing here. First of all, the Republicans were mad. Who was testifying? The commissioner, the IRS commissioner, was testifying. And the Republicans were upset. Why were they upset? They legitimately believe they were misled by this commissioner. You see, the Republicans were counting on the commissioner to produce the emails of Lois Lerner, who was head of the exempt organization. She was head of the exempt organization division. She was a director in the IRS Cincinnati office. She was head of that exempt organization division that approves the applications or request for you have a number of what's called exempt organization. There are different types. But the one that was really being in the news is 501c4s. They are nonprofit groups, so-called social welfare organizations. You have 501c3, 504c4s, 501c5s and 6. I'm just going to cover 501c4s because that's what the IRS was focused in on by Lois Lerner. And you had a dramatic jump starting in 2011, 2012 in the number of 501c4 requests. These are nonprofit organizations, so-called social welfare organizations, that can solicit money from individuals. It could be contributions, grants, donations. So they can do various things. Most of them are issue-oriented. Most of these were small. When I mean small, their budgets are under $25,000. And you need to understand that. Most of these organizations are nonprofit. They rely on contributions, donations, or grants, which they solicit, so they can get their point of view, their views, if you will, on various issues out to the public. Let me give you an example. I'm very much a classical liberal or libertarian. I've had many, many shows on the fact that the federal government spending is out of control and that we should have balanced budgets and that we need to, for example, implement a fair tax that would replace all existing federal income taxes. So, and I would like to get my message out. I could form a 501c4 and solicit contributions for funding. Now, I may be successful, I may be not, but the point is, because they're nonprofit, it's not a business, they're not trying to make money. What they're trying to do is advocate reforms. In this case, what I'm advocating is we need to cut government spending, and we need to balance our budgets, and we need to reform our tax system. I'm just using this as an example. I could write to the IRS, fill out an application, send the fee in, and request from them that I be designated a 501c4, a nonprofit social welfare organization. Most of what they do is educational. Most, not all. However, up to slightly less than half, roughly 49%, can be advocating a political agenda and even advocating for or against a candidate, as long as it's not the primary role of their organization. But most are simply trying to spread the word, their viewpoint, their point of view to the people in their communities. And most of them are very, very small. Now, what was happening? The IRS, for a period of 2 years, from April 2010 to April 2012, were not approving any of these. And remember, it was in 2011 and 2012 that you had a dramatic increase of the numbers. Prior to that, it was less than 1,500 of these. I'm trying to set the stage and giving you probably too much background. Now, what was the IRS doing? They were deliberately targeting, this is Lois Lerner's group in Cincinnati, they were deliberately targeting so-called conservative groups, Tea Party groups, Patriot groups, 912 project groups, pro-life, pro-Israel groups that were requesting status of 501c4. And they were sitting on these applications. The term you'll hear in the press, they were slow walking it. In the past, it was usually several weeks, maybe several months, to get approval. It was not a big deal. It simply was not a big deal. It really, it was almost pro forma. But suddenly, it was delay after delay after delay. In addition to that, the organizers of the groups were hit with a series of questions that were entirely inappropriate. The most inappropriate one is to provide a list of your contributors, donors, or grantors. In other words, who are you getting the money from? Now, what you need to understand, by law, they're not required to tell you that. And that's the reason many people will contribute to these organizations, is they're interested in, for example, limited government, balanced budgets. They like the message, the goal of your organization, so they contribute knowing that their name will not be disclosed because it's not required to be disclosed by law. Now, suddenly, the IRS was given a lot of attention. They were deliberately targeting these groups, and they've admitted that. They've apologized for it, but they've admitted they were doing that. But what happened in 2011 and 12, the numbers more than doubled, or nearly doubled, and doubled more. You had more groups doing it. There were Tea Party groups. It was the Tea Party movement and people sympathetic to the fact that they've had enough of Republicans and Democrats, and they wanted limited government. They wanted federal government spending to be cut. That's their primary goal. And they were disgusted with bailouts and these huge deficits of $1 trillion. And they were exercising their right of free speech under the Constitution, as well as association, in soliciting funds from like-minded people so they could get their message out. Now, what happened in 2010? And why did the IRS suddenly target these groups? It's not hard to understand. The President of the United States, in a State of the Union address with the Supreme Court right in front of him, made it very clear he was not happy at all with the Supreme Court decision in the Citizens United case. Citizens United was a 501c4 organization that several years ago put out a video called Hillary the Movie. And at the time, there was a law commonly referred to as the McCain-Feingold bill that limited speech. In other words, you could not, 30 days prior to a primary or 60 days prior to a general election, put out, for example, an ad on TV or a movie in this case being critical of a candidate, even though under the Constitution it clearly says that the U.S. government should not abridge, cannot abridge the right of free speech. Well, the Supreme Court found that to be unconstitutional on its face. And if you listen to the president, he was very, very misleading about this. And that's being diplomatic. He was lying about this. He said, now we're going to have foreign corporations making huge contributions and determining the results of elections by contributing to these groups, as well as U.S. corporations. Why was that a lie? The U.S. Supreme Court did not specifically state it. This does not affect either the limits on what corporations can provide, for example, to candidates, nor does it affect the disclosure requirements under different laws. It was specifically and narrowly addressing the fact that you cannot limit groups such as Citizens United from speaking out by broadcasting this movie, Hillary the Movie. And this was a landmark case. But the president demagogued it by misleading the American people to the extent you listen to the State of the Union message. But he went a lot further. He repeated this lie over and over and over again in campaign speech after campaign speech. And the left picked it up, and so did the press. The media picked this up. They went, and as far as I'm concerned, they became hysterical about it. And if you look at my notes for the past shows on this, you'll see some of the videos. I'm not exaggerating. You would think this is the end of the world. The president was simply obsessed about this, and he got it wrong. What was he trying to do? And this was very conscious. He was trying to shut up his political opponents. What is the core issue involved here? It's free speech, which is supposedly protected under the Constitution of the United States in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment. You see, the left in this country, the liberals and progressives in this country, largely in the Democratic Party, but we have some in the Republican Party, don't like free speech. They are afraid of the American people speaking their minds. And that's what this is about. These are American citizens. Most of them small, very small organizations that came out for Tea Party events and now are taking the next step trying to get their message out. And most of these organizations were small. This is the targeting, political targeting by the IRS to suppress speech in this country. And ladies and gentlemen, they were successful. They were successful. They delayed these organizations getting their 501c4 letter approving them. Now, I must say, what really was the concern of the president? There are some 501c4s, and most of them were already in existence, that were getting large contributions from very wealthy people. And the ones that they're also obsessed about is the Koch brothers that have a deserved reputation, and I agree with them, of funding organizations, for example, like the Cato Institute in Washington, D.C. They no longer are involved in it, but in the past they were a major supporter of the Cato Institution, but other organizations, because they're very, very wealthy and can do it. But it's primarily educational. You see, the left does not brook criticism. They don't like competition, and they want their message to be the only message, because that ultimately is what we're talking about. Now, the president has a bully pulpit. The press will cover him, and it'll definitely will cover the State of the Union message or address. No ifs, ands, or buts. All major media networks will cover that address. And that's why the president did it in the 2010 State of the Union address. But there was follow-up, folks. There was follow-up by the IRS. Now, this didn't really originate in Cincinnati. That was the initial story when this became clear that hundreds, namely thousands, of organizations were deliberately and select selectively targeted for their political views so they don't get this letter. It's delayed. Initially, the story was this, when it became learned the IRS was doing, oh, this is just a couple of rogue agents in the Cincinnati office, and that's where this exempt organization division is located. But they weren't doing it on their own hook. Lois Lerner, although she was in charge of that, there was someone previous to that as well. She was coordinating with Washington. Who in Washington? The General Counsel's Office of the IRS, as well as the IRS Commissioner's Office, chief of staff there. And there were emails exchanged between them. There was also an effort to go after some of these groups on criminal cases. So there also were discussions with the Department of Justice to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, what was happening is the IRS was being politicized just like the Department of Justice is. And they were going after their political enemies. Now, don't think it started at the IRS headquarters, at the commissioner's office, or for that matter, the general counsel office. And remember, the two political appointees in the IRS are the IRS commissioner, the chairman, the IRS commissioner, and the general counsel. Those are the two political appointees. Now, they're not going to do this unless they get their marching orders from who? The White House. And there was coordination with the White House. There were emails exchanged between not only the Cincinnati office, the exempt organizations division, as well as the general counsel's office in Washington, D.C., as well as the commissioner's office, chief of staff, and they were coordinating with the Department of Justice and the White House as to how to handle the 501c4s. And this was to suppress speech. Who? What speech? Of conservative groups. Now, there have been a few cases of the IRS under, for example, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon in the past, trying to use the IRS to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a crime, and people should go to jail for this. But you really want the people responsible for this. It wasn't a few rogue agents doing it. Far from it. This was directed from Washington, D.C., from the White House to the through the Department of Treasury to the Internal Revenue Service, and then down to the Exempt Organizations Division. And there was a lot of political pressure on the IRS from several senators, Democratic senators. Carl Levin is the biggest one. Schumer's another one, putting pressure. What are you going to do about 501c4 organizations? And what they did was they targeted them, and they intentionally delayed, so-called slow walk. That's what the Republican Oversight Committee in the House discovered. This wasn't a few rogue agents, and initially after that didn't work, they said, well, progressive or liberal organizations were also targeted. No, about 95% of the people that were targeted were conservative groups, Tea Party, Patriot, 9/12 Project, pro-life, pro-Israel. Those are the groups that the IRS went after. Yes, there are a few progressive groups, less than 10, of which only one was audited. The overwhelming majority by hundreds were these conservative groups. And really, Democrats and Republicans should be upset about this, but they're not. The Democrats are actually supporting the commissioner, because what upset them last Tuesday was the fact that not only was the hard drive of Lois Lerner that had supposedly the emails on it, that is evidence and could be used to convict her as well as her companions in this conspiracy, and that's what it is. It is a conspiracy, a criminal conspiracy, because it's against the law to do this. That's why Lois Lerner took the Fifth Amendment. And remember, you have the Fifth Amendment so you don't incriminate yourself. In other words, the prosecutor has to get the evidence to convict you. You don't have to provide him the evidence. But what was happening in the IRS, the evidence was deliberately being destroyed. So her hard drive crashed. So what? The reason I say that is in most organizations, including the IRS, the backups, and there are several backups, are on the servers. They're not on the workstation of the employee. And the IRS had hired an organization, I think it's Sanasoft, to have archives, email archive system, and they've had it since 2005. What suddenly happened? Several months after Lois Lerner's hard drive crashed, the IRS suddenly ends that contract. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a deliberate attempt to obstruct justice by destroying evidence. And what's frustrating about the Republicans on that committee is it's clear as day. You see, if you're innocent, you provide the emails. If you're not innocent, you destroy the emails. So what has been happening? They have destroyed the emails. And I could even accept Lois Lerner's hard drive crashing, but I'll tell you what I don't accept. I don't accept that they're not copies of this on servers. And it had to be a deliberate decision because people in the IT world know this is nonsense. First, just the hard drive that crashed, you can get information off that hard drive. But it was recycled. It was basically thrown out. And that is the cock and bull story that the IRS commissioner was telling to the Republicans, and they were getting mad about it. They were getting incensed about it. I would be incensed. And what's also aggravating is the major media in this country, ABC, CBS, and NBC, as well as newspapers, have simply not been covering this story. Ladies and gentlemen, this story is exceeding Watergate, which resulted in the resignation of Richard Milhouse Nixon. This is a scandal of the first order because it's attacking the free speech freedoms of the American people. It should be on every news station. It's not. And the American people are not happy about it. And that's why you're seeing President Obama's approval rating plummeting. And that's why you're seeing fewer and fewer people want to be identified as Democrats. So if the Democrats on the committee want to clap the IRS commissioner, well, all I'm saying, well, they must be on the conspiracy. They must be criminals, too. They should be attacking and joining the Republicans on the committee. Instead, what are they doing? They're defending them because it's not credible that the server hard drives are not available. In other words, those emails exist on a number of government servers. Now, maybe some of the people in the IRS think they've destroyed them and gotten rid of the copies, but there are other organizations that got this email. And if push comes to shove, at least one organization definitely has it, and that's the National Security Agency that gets all the emails. You see, there's been clear to me, I can't prove it. See, here's the problem. You got to prove it. I can suspect all I want, but this is what's going on for the simple reason if you're innocent and you didn't do it, you didn't engage in any crimes, you weren't saying anything in these emails that are at all criminal, then you would release the emails. It's the emails that can convict you and put you in jail and put others in jail that ultimately lead back to the White House and the President of the United States. Those are the ones that now are missing, if you believe them. I don't believe them. What I think the House needs to do is offer a reward, $1 million, $2 million, for anyone that can provide evidence, namely the emails, whether in hard copy, hard drive, I don't care, of these emails that lead to the conviction of the people in the government, in the IRS, Department of Justice, and in the White House that were involved in this. You know, the initial reaction of the president, he was outraged. This cannot be. And several months later, he goes on the Bill Riley show and says there's not a smidgen of evidence of corruption. There is massive evidence of corruption. And the story of the IRS commissioner is simply unbelievable. He's lying. So it looks like I'm not going to get to the illegal immigration part of the show, but I'll get to it Monday for sure, because we had, well, let me wrap up on the IRS, and I'll address illegal immigration the next show. I'm not happy with either the Democrat Party, but they can do what they want. I'll never vote for them ever again. I'm not happy with the Republicans either, because this is being mishandled. The only way you're really going to get at this, and you should have done this at the very beginning, is appoint a select committee of Congress to investigate this. Because the way they've gone about it, and this is the House rules, what do these committees do? They have rounds of questions where both Republicans and Democrats each round have 5 minutes to ask a question and get an answer. This is not how you go about investigating and really prosecuting wrongdoing. You need a select committee, just like they had a select committee investigating Watergate. And that's what needs to be done. Actually, it should have been done months ago and needs to be done right now. And it is John Boehner, the House Speaker, that's blocking this, because he's not happy with the Tea Party group either. And that's why more and more Americans are leaving both parties. They see the corruption. They see the cynicism. They see the hypocrisy, the lying, and they're disgusted by it. We have a class in Washington, I call it the political elitist establishment, that has lost touch with the American people. They've betrayed the American people. They are attacking the American people. They are infringing on the rights of American people to exercise their freedom of speech and freedom of association. And they're afraid of the Tea Party and people like them catching on. And they should be afraid, because more and more people are leaving both parties. You see, the P's, the political elitist establishment, the only thing they're really concerned about is power and getting reelected. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your weekend. And next show, I'll definitely cover what's happening at the border, namely the so-called humanitarian crisis, where the border is being flooded by tens of thousands of children from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. So stay tuned for the Monday show. Thank you. Have a great weekend.